afternoon. Give God glory. Give God praise. Amen. Lift up your hands and magnify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. How many enjoy the presence of God right now? How many glad you made it to Fire Conference this year? Amen. Thank God. Why don't we just give Him praise and glory one more time? Put your hands together and love the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I realize I'm the thing between you and lunch, so I will not be long, but I want to share with you my heart, and God bless you for being at Fire Conference this year, and man, we're off to a wonderful, wonderful start. Appreciate the presence of God. Appreciate the wonderful preaching of God's Word already. Brother Meadow, Brother Spurlock delivering their hearts and just speaking to us and challenging us to live godly in this present world. Amen. Today, my assignment is to deal with video entertainment. And so if you have your Bibles and you'd like to read with me, Psalms chapter number 101. Psalms chapter number 101, also the book of Lamentations, the third chapter. I'm comforted this morning by the great thought that this is Brother David Webb's pulpit, and it is absolute bulletproof. He said it can take a 44 Magnum at point blank range 8 times in the same spot. So if you see me disappear and duck for cover, you know that I'm feeling the feedback this morning. Psalms chapter 101, if you have it, say amen. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Notice that. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The book of Lamentations, chapter number 3. Lamentations, chapter number 3 and verse number 51. I want to read for you the first 5 words. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Did you see that, young folks? There's a direct correlation between what we view and the condition of our heart. Mine eye, your eye, it affects the condition, the sensitivity of your heart. With the Lord helping me today, I want to talk to you about this truth, about it all, the truth of video entertainment. Brother Spurlock reminded us that the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 22 tell us that the light of the body is the eye. The way to your soul, the way to your heart is by what you see, the eye gate. Some sociologists tell us that 90% of your thought life is based upon what you view. 90% of what you're thinking about is what you're viewing. I'm going to realize there is power in what we see. The major American companies on a regular basis spend between $1 and $4 billion annually, because they know what you see is directly connected to what you spend and what you buy. And so they're willing to spend $1 to $4 billion a year in a marketing campaign, because if you see it, they'll feel it'll move you to a purchase. It is with that balance in mind also that Scripture warns us about the defilement of the mind. Scripture is filled with warnings that you and I must guard our mind, that our mind should be pure and holy. How many realize the scripture says that God would sanctify us? The will of God is to sanctify us in spirit, in soul, and in body. How many believe we have to have a sanctified mind as well as an outward standard? You believe that? Say amen. But there is power in what we see. Genesis chapter number 3, that initial transgression of sin entering into the world. The Bible says that Eve saw that it was good for food. She saw the temptation. Achan, in that tragic Bible story that we refer to many of times about how he hid that Babylonian garment. But the scripture records in Joshua 7 and 21 that Achan saw the Babylonian garment. Gehazi, the prophet, the man of God's servant, saw the temptation. It was David upon the rooftop when he should have been out to battle, but he saw the temptation. So what we see, we must understand, enters into our heart. And it is forever sketched in our mind. And that's why preceding generations, our ministers were always clear-cut. They were always emphatic that the door to our heart, the door to our homes, the door to our minds, it remained free from the temptations of Hollywood, whether it was television or whether it was movies. They were emphatic. They were clear-cut in their distinctions that the door must remain closed to that temptation. We open the door to communication, education, and information. We allowed that in while at the same time closing the door to Hollywood. And along comes the invention of the smartphone, which is a relative term depending on how well you can use it. I've met some folks that needed more than a smartphone. And now that phone, that 4-inch screen in your pocket, think about the greatest inventions of all time. The telephone. It's in your pocket. Your calculator. It's in your pocket. Your radio. It's in your pocket. Your GPS. It's in your pocket. Your flashlight. It's in your pocket. It's all one. And you've got a 4-inch screen to any movie or TV program or... And so I'm the third preacher to come along today and to tell you more now than ever, this is a matter of our heart. More now than ever. It's a matter of our heart. But I want to talk to you about seven things that maybe will give us some sort of a template as we deal with the temptations in our generation. Number one, and that is, has already been quoted this morning, Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23. The Bible says, keep thy heart, with all diligence. Can I tell you, number one, the very first thing when we're talking about this subject today, and that is that you and I must remain steadfast in our convictions and in our standards. That the internet and the smartphone should not cause us to go backwards on our convictions and on our standards. If the internet and your phone is causing you to change your convictions and change your standards, friend, you need to make some serious alterations in your life today.
I believe the preceding generations were correct, and I don't believe we should come along in this day and hour and lower the standard, but God help us to lift up the standard of righteousness. God help us to lift up the banner of holiness and not wither in our convictions, but to lift up that blood-stained cross they sung about and tell us that we have been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And in this day and hour, we will remain steadfast. We will remain strong in our convictions and in our standards. If the internet's causing you to change your standards, you need to get rid of it today. You don't need to go another day. If you can't handle it, if that smartphone in your pocket, if you don't have the ability to close the door to sin and things of this world, but as you open that door to education and information and communication, if it's also bringing in that which is going to cause your soul to be damned and backsliding, make an emphatic commitment today that we're going to remain the same as we've always been. You see, the generation before me, they had to settle the issue of television. My generation come along, and then they said, well, you don't have to go to the movies. You can bring it in, and VCRs and DVDs. And now this generation, you don't have to leave your bedroom. It's in your pocket. And you're shaped by the generation. Your conscience is shaped by the generation you grow up in. You are besieged in a cesspool of immorality. Just one generation ago, the number one television show in America had the lead female character who was expecting a child. And so they wrote part of her story into the television scenes, and they happened to use the word that at that time was very uncouth and unacceptable in American culture. Sometimes we'll say she's with child or expecting, but the word that starts with a P that many of you probably would not even use today because the older generation would not use that word. That word was used in that television show. And at that time, it was the number one rated television show in America. And there was a major push to remove that program from the airways for using that one word. How far we've come. How far we've come. That the unsaved conscience of America, one generation ago, in some respects, is more pure than among some church-going people in 2014. Because some of you can sit around and watch things that are completely unacceptable and impure, but not be challenged or convicted by it. To keep that program on the airwaves, they had to, a bishop and a rabbi and a minister viewed every succeeding episode with the intent that it would not offend the conscience of America. And here we are now. We are the generation that cannot blush. Number one, remain steadfast in your convictions and your standards. Number two, reject the acceptance of laughing at the sins that crucified Christ. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 32 says this, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but notice this, but have pleasure in them that do them. Can I tell you, there should be a guiding principle in our lives that we reject to laugh at any sin that crucified Christ on Calvary. We make a mockery of the blood of the cross. We make a mockery of Calvary, that if we can sit and be entertained and laugh at the same thing the unregenerated, unsaved can be entertained by, but because we go to church on Sunday and we know Amazing Grace and our name's on a Sunday school roll, that we feel we're right with God. But hear me, there is no way fellowship can have any commonality with light and darkness. There is no fellowship. You cannot be entertained by the sins that sent Christ to the cross and the blood that was shed and the ruby red blood that washed my sins away. I've been saved. I've been cleansed. I've been justified. Not saved in my sins, but saved from my sins. I'm a creature that's been changed. I've got a new heart. I've got a new mind. I said my life has been completely changed. No wonder Paul said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Listen to me, young folks. Here's what the Bible said. Not what I said, but here's what the Bible said. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And such were. Woo! Aren't you glad you've been changed? Well, let me tell you who the unrighteous are. And if you're a born-again child of God, and such were some of you, that at one time you were entertained by that. At one time you were laughing at that. But now you've been changed. You're not unrighteous anymore. You're a righteous child of God. Paul said, here are the unrighteous, fornicators. There's no way you can sit down in front of a movie, television. It doesn't matter the device you're getting it from. It doesn't matter what name you call it. But there's no way you can sit down as a righteous child of God and in view any fornicatious activity, scantily clad women, suggestive innuendos, off-color sexual jokes, and find that entertaining, and find that any kind of uplifting, inspirational. You will not do it. It reminds you of what you used to be. It takes you back to your old life. And I don't know about you. I said, I don't know about you. But I'm glad that I got saved. I'm glad I've been born again. I'm glad I've been washed. I'm glad I've been justified. I'm glad my life has been cleaned by the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Fornication. Idolaters. We had a lady get saved just a couple of years ago. I didn't know about this till I was preaching a light like this in my church recently. And she had got saved. She still had a television. And one night going home from church, she was thinking about the next day they were starting the new season to American Idol. And she got excited. She loved that show. She was excited that the next day, brand new season of American Idol. And she said, I don't know whether it was audibly, I don't know whether it was the Spirit speaking to her in her car, but she said she heard clearly, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Woo! She went home and got rid of anything that was an idol between her and her God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Adulterers. Effeminate. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. If you're entertained by that, you're not part of the kingdom of God. You can't be. You just can't be. I don't care whether it's a YouTube video, top 10 movie, or the most popular show on television or cable. The principle has to apply to our hearts and our lives, and that is reject. Reject the sin that crucified Christ. Number three, I don't have time to cover, and it's already been covered in detail today, but that is redeem the gift of time. Redeem the gift of time. Ephesians 5 and 16. Because the days are evil. Redeem the time. Number four, remember you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. A lot of times we talk about how we should act when we go to the house of God. I appreciated what they had to say this morning about putting up your phones and putting them on vibrate and not tweeting and not doing texting. I appreciate it. We should act godly in the house of God. You believe that? Say amen. But can I tell you, in the New Testament, church is not a building. It's not. When the New Testament refers to the church, it's not a building. It's not a four-walled sanctuary. It's you. It's you. It's you and you and you and you and you. You are the temple. You are the church. You're the people of God. So I want some of you to think about the last week, month of things that you've allowed into your mind. Because here's what I know as pastor. I've pastored one church, so I am not an expert. It's the only church that ever asked me to be pastor. So I figure I better stay. I might not get another shot. I've pastored that same group of people. I'm in my 18th year. If they let me stay, I'll stay. But I really believe in my heart, if this generation does not get this issue right, we will lose our distinction as a holiness people. Well, it's such a visual-oriented society. We've got to give them something to look at. As if we don't give you something godly, you're going to look at something ungodly. So the premise in my mind is this. How could a heart want to look at something godly at the same time they're wanting to look at something ungodly? We've got a divided heart. But I suggest you go back and look at other Pentecostal denominations that had the same standards that we have. And look at how they began to accept their entertainment. At what they began to accept as acceptable. And it changed them. Because when you sit down and you begin to watch things for entertainment, it puts you in some kind of a mesmerized state. And it begins to change your belief system. And before long, you're acting different. You're looking different. It alters the landscape. But my God, the Bible said, Jeremiah uttered, mine eye, it affecteth mine heart. I said, God, give me a heart for the things of God this morning. I can't sit down and watch some kind of Hollywood filth. I can't sit down in front of a movie where there's lying and cheating and fornication and homosexuality and adultery and then go into the house of God and praise the Holy Christ. I can't do it. I've got to keep my mind pure. My God, come to us today. My God, come to us as a movement. Come to us as youth groups. Come to us as the people of God and bathe us and purify us and cleanse us and wash us white as the driven snow. Lift your hands and ask God to help us today. Come on, lift your hands and ask God to help us today. Oh, God, unless we get this right. I said, unless we get it right. May not show up next year. But you mark it down, young folks. Our movement is resting upon you. We're depending on every one of you. And I will stand today and tell you I am very encouraged with the young people of our movement. I believe some of you are so sold out and so real and so true. You're going to carry the torch of the banner forward uncompromisingly until Jesus comes. But I'm telling you, if we start down that road, if we start down that slope of beginning to waver on this issue, well, it's not that bad, preacher. What do we have to gain? And what do we have to lose? You got to understand, there were movements that we're a drop in the bucket compared to what they were. I mean, thank God for this. But you got to understand, there have been other people that walked this path. But they began to waver. And if we waver on this issue, 20 years from now, 25 years from now, 10 years from now, will we still have the Pentecostal distinctives that we have right now? Will the holiness lifestyle still be what it is this morning? Number five, refrain. There are some folks you would never invite a man to commit fornication in your house. You would never invite a man to commit adultery in your house. But can I tell you, the fifth guiding principle must be refrain from being influenced by ungodly people. You bring that junk, you bring that filth in, whether it's Netflix, however you stream it, it doesn't matter. I got an email yesterday from Amazon. They're in the market. So it doesn't matter the name. If it's in your heart, you'll find it. You'll find it. You say, just because the preacher didn't name it, I can get on the platform. I'm not talking about getting on the platform. I'm not talking about teaching a class. I'm talking about the church. Let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart, depart, depart from iniquity. I'm not talking about leadership. I'm talking to every last one of us today. And Paul told Timothy, don't get up close to temptation. Don't get up beside it to see how strong you are. But here's what Paul told Timothy, flee, flee, run away, get away, get away. My God, today, sanctify us holy. If I dare come down on Doug Dynasty today. Some of you say, my, you're just a... Hey, I don't know anything about him except 30 seconds. I'm going to give you my commentary. We were in Illinois at a family get-together at Christmas 2 years ago. My sister-in-law feels like that may be the tool that wins my unsaved brother-in-law to Christ. Because they pray at the end of the show. So we're sitting there and we've ate and we're gift giving and doing all that, and over there in the corner, they've got the TV playing. It didn't take very long, because all I heard was, man, these are godly evangelists that's sweeping the country, put Billy Graham out of business. First lady come walking in, very immodestly dressed, tight clothes, tight shirt with writing on it, and somebody else made a very vulgar comment about her body. What'd you do? I got up and went downstairs in the basement, and that's all I need to know. But I'm telling you, put the name on it you want. I don't care. You put the name on it that you want. But we're being desensitized. I said we're being desensitized. I don't know why Fox News thinks some of that is news. That's not news. That's gossip. I want the news. Somebody give me some news. But my God, we're in a society that it seems like they just are infatuated with sensualism and ungodliness and immorality. But I believe I'm among some folks today that are living right, that are living godly. I believe God's going to have a church. I said, I believe God's going to have a church. I said, oh, thank God. I'm glad my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And is there anybody today that if the trumpet sounds, I said, you know that 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 you know you're ready to leave this world. I said, this world's not your home. I said, you're just passing through. Give God some praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, no disrespect to them, but where are my gray heads from Moultrie? Where are they at? They know who I'm talking about. Point, somebody point me. Where are they at? I'm looking. There she is. Wave real high. I told you I'd see you. I was preaching revival over in Moultrie in January. And they said, we're going to go to that youth fire conference. I said, come on. Come on. They said, you won't even see us. I said, I'll see you. I'll be able to pick you out. So they rode a bus all the way from Moultrie, Georgia. You go talk to those sisters, though. Their conscience is shaped by the generation they grew up in. Some of you young folks are being shaped by the culture that you're growing up in. It's not your fault. I'm not blaming you or criticizing, but I'm just telling you, your conscience can be seared, numb, and desensitized to where you think things are normal, acceptable, when they're completely vulgar and improper. That's why Paul said in the last days, perilous times shall come. He told Timothy that the Spirit speaks expressly. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Young folks, throughout the service tonight and tomorrow, you need to beg God to sanctify your spirit and your soul, purify you. And finally and seventhly, Job said it this way, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Number seven, if you're watching things that you know are wrong and ungodly, and you're allowing, you don't have a television, but you might as well, you've got YouTube. You're using it just like. I don't want to get into just naming. I'm telling you, it's the heart. But I have made a covenant. Made a covenant with mine eyes. I can't go there. I can't do that. I won't do that. Stand with me all across this auditorium right now with your heads bowed. We've got to get this issue right. We've got to get it right. There's no room for compromise. That door to your heart, that door to your home, that door to your mind, it's got to stay closed to the temptations of the devil. You're willing to be a sold out young person in the 21st century. Come on, lift your hands toward God right now. Come on, let's begin to pray and worship. Come on, let's begin to lift up our heart to God. Maybe God's talked to you. Maybe God's put His finger on something in your life in this morning service. Come on, surrender it to God right now. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. This is the house of the living God. Oh, come on right now. Come on, lift up your voice. Come on, lift up your hands to God. You're the generation that's going to carry the church forward. I said, you're the generation that's carrying the church forward. You're the evangelist of today. You're the pastors. You're going to be the leaders. You've got to have convictions. You've got to have standards. There's no room for compromise. There's no room for backsliding and lukewarmness. But come on right now, let's start a Holy Ghost revival on this Friday afternoon in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, at the Lacan Center. Come on and say, God, let the fire of God fall. Let the power of God fall. Let it fall. So, my God, would you sweep side to side and front to back and let the power of God hit this building.